Welcome to Trinity Church. This week's podcast is from our recent Sunday morning service. You can also visit trinitychurch.life for more podcasts and videos of recent sermons.
So welcome again. If you joined us since the beginning, it's really so good to be together. During this Advent season at Trinity, we've been doing this series, Decluttering Christmas. And the reason we've done that is there really is something about this time of year, isn't there, that sort of functions like an amplification system for everything that we are feeling, all of our emotions, everything that we are sensing. It's like it's all dialed up, it's turned up to the max. And so for some of us, it is the most wonderful season of all. We love the gifts, we love the parties, we love the decorations, and meanwhile, for others, it's like we're just clinging on for dear life to hold on through the roller coaster ride. And sort of wherever we are in our journey with Jesus, whether we've been following him for many, many years, or tonight maybe is your first interaction with the church in a really long time, or maybe ever, I think all of us can on some level sort of resonate with that idea of feeling overwhelmed at this time of year. Now, as I mentioned, this part of the year in the life of the church is called Advent, which is sort of a weird word if you haven't come across it before, but it's simply a Latin term that means coming or arrival. And so in these weeks, in the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, we light the candles around the wreath to kind of signify and mark off each week. We're anticipating the coming and the arrival of Jesus, and we're waiting. We're anticipating. We're in this posture of just waiting for him. And there's a sense in which we're doing that chronologically, right? Christmas Day is on Wednesday, and depending how old you are in this room, you've got a varying degree of patience for how quickly or slowly that day is going to arrive. But I found, especially in recent years, in our culture, in Westchester County, we don't do a whole lot of waiting, do we? It's like we're a little bit out of practice. If we want to listen to some Christmas music, right, back in the day when I was 7 or 8 years old, we listened to some Christmas music by dusting off the LP, right, putting it on the turntable, the scratchy sound, right? Hardly anyone in the room even remembers what that is. But now it's like the click of a button. Or if you want to watch a Christmas movie, there's no traipsing off to Blockbuster. It's click, there it is. If you want to order a product or a decoration or a gift, it will be on your doorstep in just 2 short days. Isn't it wonderful? Right? Today is actually my mom's birthday, and I hope she doesn't watch this, because the first moment I took action on a birthday gift for my wonderful, lovely mother was just 2 days ago. And yet, there it is, as if by magic. And so much of that is really positive, isn't it? It makes life seem more efficient, it makes things better, it helps us with life. But there's also sort of a consequence. There's something that happens in our hearts, in our lives, when we're around that all of the time. We start to think sometimes that all of life should be just as instantaneous. And so consequently, in our culture, maybe you resonate with this, it feels like we've become pretty bad at waiting. You think so? We don't like it. We feel like everything should just be faster, everything should be on our schedule, our timeline, our timetable. And frankly, everyone else should just anticipate and meet our needs and desires in advance, right? That's what it means to live in Westchester County in the New York City metro area. We talk fast, we walk fast, we drive fast, we shop fast, and we expect everyone else to do the same. And I know that's true because it's true of me. I realized a couple of weeks ago just how terrible I am at waiting. I'm horrible at it. Right? My wife is 37 weeks pregnant, and I'm like, I can't wait to meet this baby. Will he or she just hurry up? But a few weeks ago, I was heading to Starbucks, and I'd mobile ordered at Starbucks because I was on the way somewhere else, and I was anticipating my routine quick in, quick out beverage pickup. So I'd mobile ordered, I was gonna go in, out. As I rounded the corner to Starbucks, though, horror struck me, because there were 4 fire trucks parked outside, all of the Starbucks baristas were stood outside, as were all of the customers. Now, in that situation, there were, of course, a whole spectrum of thoughts and emotions that could have come to me. I could have, if I was being especially Christian, especially loving, thought, wow, I really hope everyone is okay. It's just a false alarm. No one was anxious at all when the alarms went off. Is everyone all right? Wouldn't have that been a loving reaction? That wasn't my reaction, though. My reaction, in fact, was, oh, they had better hurry up and resolve this so I can get on my way. In fact, I wonder, did they already make my drink, and could I perhaps sneak into this possibly burning building to pick up my drink and be on my way? I think, like many of us, I'm horrible at waiting. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that we're conditioned, maybe even addicted, to instant gratification. And that's a bit challenging because it's also a real spiritual principle, and it's sort of woven into the fabric of creation, that God, his presence, his word to us, is very often found in the pauses, in the unhurried moments, in the waiting. That's where we actually find God. Richard Foster, who writes a lot about spiritual practices, says this. He says, when we chafe under the slowness of our microwaves and our computers, it becomes nearly impossible for us to obey the divine whisper, be still and know that I am God. He says, some things simply will not yield to our perpetual hankering for the instant, the immediate, and the sudden. And so that's why I felt like tonight, the thing that the Lord wanted me to talk about was this. How do we embrace waiting in the world of the instant fix? How do we actually do that in this crazy season? And it's a principle that we actually see all the way throughout the Christmas story. In the verses that William read for us earlier, we see Jesus, the Word and the light of God, was present from the very beginning. He was right there. And yet, even though he was there, there was this extraordinarily long period of waiting for God's people, for him to actually arrive on earth. In fact, that's pretty much the story of the Bible. So much of the story of the Bible is God's people waiting for Jesus to arrive for hundreds and thousands of years. And God was in all of their waiting. As I was praying about tonight, I felt like the Lord said very clearly, look at Simeon and Anna. Maybe you're familiar with Simeon and Anna, or maybe they're brand new. Luke, who's one of the biblical authors, when he's retelling the story of the birth of Jesus, introduces us to these two characters. Right after Jesus' birth, he's brought to the temple. And as he arrives at the temple, these two characters, Simeon and Anna, are there. And it turns out they've been waiting their entire lives for this moment. Simeon was an old man, and the Lord had told him, you will not die until you see the rescuer of God's people. And Anna had been a widow for most of her life. We're told she's 84 years old, and she too had been waiting for that very same thing. And it's so interesting because when you read that story in Luke, you really get the sense that both Anna and Simeon were completely at peace in their waiting. Even though it had been an absolute, literal lifetime of waiting to see God's promises fulfilled, neither of them were doing so with frustration. When will God finally show up? Or anxiety, or anger, or resignation. Oh, is it just too good to be true? Can God be that good after all? I don't think it's really going to happen. No, they seem completely at peace and calm in the waiting. They were confident that God will be true to his promise. And I think for all of us, there's this maybe feeling in us that we're waiting for something. Maybe you came into this building tonight waiting for something. maybe you're waiting for a relationship of some kind to be restored or healed. Maybe you're waiting for some kind of breakthrough or some kind of miracle in your life. Maybe you're sick, maybe you need healing, and you're waiting for that breakthrough to come, or maybe you're waiting for an end to financial difficulty or financial struggle. Or maybe more generally, you're just sort of waiting for a deeper sense of meaning and purpose in life. Thinking, is this all there is? Isn't there more to life than this? And I think, again, in this Christmas season, all of those longings, all of those waitings just show up for us in a much bigger, more obvious way. Here's the good news about the Christmas story, though. Here's the good news about the real, literal, actual coming of Jesus, the Son of God, into the world. In God's most gracious, most generous, most promise-keeping act, in sending Jesus, he actually helps us in our waiting. This is how. Here's a couple of ways that it helps us in our waiting. First of all, the coming of Jesus gives us faith to pray boldly, for the light to break into our darkness, into our weakness, into whatever we're waiting for. Jesus has come, and the reality of his life and his death and his resurrection means we can pray boldly for the things that we're waiting for. And we want to do that for you tonight if you're in a place of waiting. It does that on the one hand. And on the other, it also helps us to wait with God's perspective. Those moments where our schedule, our timeline, our agenda, for whatever reason, don't seem to match up with God's perfect timing. The coming of Jesus reminds us that God is right there in the waiting. I really wish I had time to tell you all of the, or even some of the stories of how in the moments in my life where I've been waiting, where I've been sort of saying to God, would you just hurry up? Actually, he was right there in the middle of the waiting period and did some of the most fantastic, wonderful, and beautiful things, from jobs that I thought I was supposed to get and didn't, to waiting a just crazy amount of time to get a visa to come to this country, for extended searches for places to live. And all of those, each one was marked by the fact that in the waiting, God was there. And so tonight, we just want to pray into that for every single one of us. Whatever kind of waiting your waiting might be, we believe God's got something for you in that. That we can pray boldly for the breakthrough, and we can receive God's perspective while we continue to wait. And so we want to do that. Can we pray together? So, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here, that you're in this very unexpected place, that you're with us right now. If you feel like you're waiting for something tonight, would you just, as we did earlier, just hold your hands in front of you, and it's just a way of saying, God, I'm ready for what you have for me this night. And so we pray for every person who's waiting for a relationship to be restored. God, would you work a miracle of restoration there? We believe that you can, and we ask that you will. For every person who needs physical healing in their body, wherever that part of their body might be, we, God, know that your desire is for healing and wholeness. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, come, be healed in the name of Jesus. For those who need provision, would you pour it out, God? For those who need a sense of purpose and vision, would you release it? For those who need to hear your voice even more clearly, would you speak? Let's just stay quiet for a moment now, because I believe the Lord wants to speak to each one of you. Just pay attention to his voice. It might come in the form of a small whisper, or an image, or a vision that just drops into your mind. It might come in the form of a physical sensation. Just allow the Lord to speak to you now. I Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here and that in Jesus all the promises of God are yes and amen. And so we take hold of them now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. We say it together.
If you'd like to check out some more about Trinity, you can visit our website at www.trinitychurch.life.